Boost your mornings with fresh breakfast on 102.9.
Hey, baby, let me see it. I just want to eat it.
It's 7:27 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for making that conscious decision to be with us, with the NSK and Shaquan this morning. First of all, before we get into our conversation with a representative here from City Police, which we will introduce now, right now in a few, I really want to say thank you to everyone, Shaquan, that is inquiring on how to help me. You know, either to contribute to buying a new phone or to give me a Tamagotchi or maybe help us help trace the phone back. I don't know, because people have different means and technologies. So I really want to say thank you so much to everyone. We will reply to your texts as we go on, and we will help you with the number that you need to that you would like to send some funds to help me get a phone, I believe.
Yeah.
So thank you so much once again, and I really appreciate it. My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, it's 7:28. That's your time. We've got look, Shaquan. You see, so the past week, especially last week, just to give pretext and context to what we're about to do, we've been perplexed and shocked at allegations that was leveled against former Minister Palmer Shifeta. But it's not even about that case. It's just in general in Namibia, seemingly we have a rape problem.
Yeah.
You know, looking at the stats. And we really want to understand, Shaquan, just in terms of the country, what is the problem? And in terms of reporting rape, what is the procedure? If you happen to be accused of allegedly violating someone sexually, what are your rights? You know, what's the procedure? Because I mean, yes, it's an uncomfortable conversation, but it's a conversation that we need to have, isn't it, Shaquan? And we've got someone from the law, someone an enforcer of the law, in studio right now.
Yeah,
that's going to help us contextualize all of this. That's going to teach us today if you need to report on if you were violated, how to go about it.
Where do you go?
Or perhaps if you feel that you were wrongly accused, or you really feel that I didn't do anything, and now I'm being accused, what's the procedure?
How do
I go about this thing? We hear this word rape kit all the time. What does that even mean? My goodness. We've got Senior Superintendent Hilma Mpuka in studio. She is the head integrated operations. She's the head of the integrated operations at City Police. Senior Superintendent Mpuka, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yes. How is the morning so far?
The morning is good.
Okay.
Not very cold anymore, so...
That's good. It's actually getting warmer, hey?
Yeah,
I was saying that earlier.
Yeah, I actually feel like taking off my hoodie right now. Shaquan.
Alrighty. So, you know, this conversation is very sensitive, right? But I do know that there are so many people that will be benefiting from this conversation as we share this information with them. So I think the first thing is just maybe explain to us, Senior Superintendent, what is the first step that a survivor should actually take if they have been violated and raped, ultimately?
For me, as a human and as a police officer, I would say that safety comes first. Because if you have been assaulted, especially sexually, that you are talking about now, you need to think about your safety first. You need to think about your health first. And that's what comes first to me. The idea behind here is that when you are sexually assaulted or raped, you need to think about getting medical attention, and this medical attention will afford you then it will ensure that you are safe from sexual transmitted diseases, for example, and it will make sure that the collection of forensic evidence also, and it will also in case if you are injured, this is also where you get your treatment to injuries.
Yeah.
So this it's very, very important that you first think about that before you think about a CR number or opening a docket.
Mm. Mm.
For me, safety comes first. Because so, this will also assist in the during the investigation of this crime.
Mm.
So, I mean, now that you mentioned this, do we go to the hospital first?
Yes, even if you report this case to the police will make sure that you get your medical attention. Mm. That's the first thing they will think about, even before they come to take to the point of taking your statement. Mm. What do we do first? We make sure that the person get medical examination, the person is at ease. A rape case comes in different, they are surrounding by different circumstances, different environments.
Mm.
So what you need is to look at the merit of this case and you see as a police officer, because this person might not know even. For me, I would say that call the nearest, go to the nearest police station if you can, but if you also can, run to the nearest hospital where you'll find even social workers and all other medical officers and specialists that would be able to assist you in that case. But then when you report to the police station, the first thing that we think about is to get you medical attention and also counseling before we get a statement from you, because it's very, very important for us to get a proper statement that will help us in the court of law.
Okay, so it's not a situation, because you know what, I also thought that perhaps you need to go to the police station first, you get some sort of form, and then you go to the hospital. But it's not the case. You can go either to the police station or the hospital. That's what I'm understanding, right?
Yeah. Okay, the form, yeah, there's a form that you get from the police station, especially for the purpose of injuries. But for me, I just think that, like I said, circumstances differ. You'll find a person that can go straight to the police station. You'll find someone that is so traumatized. The least that she needs is actually counseling and medical treatment for her mental health and physically treatment, medical treatment. But then that will depend. If you can run to the police station, because at the end of the day, the police need to come in immediately. Because you'll find also, like I said, it depends where it happened, who is the perpetrator. You might also need, in events where you need arrest to be affected immediately, then you also need, because someone might not be known to you, and this person need to be arrested. So it all depends. But what I said, the first thing that we should think about is the person's well-being, the wellness, the person to be treated, to get treatment, so that we do not risk on sexual transmitted diseases, as well as we don't lose evidence for the court of law. This is what we need to think about first.
Sorry, partner. Speaking of evidence, right? If I was raped now, how do I say this? The time frame for me to go to the police or to the hospital, what is that time frame?
Ideally, is 72 hours. That within 72 hours of the assault, you need to get to the hospital for this for the rape kit to be used for the because within the rape kits we have certain swabs that should be used for the purpose of
evidence.
These swabs, they are more effective within 72 hours, but I am not saying that you should not report the case if days have passed. You will find that circumstances around this case will not allow you, afford you that opportunity to reach the police or the hospital within 72 hours, or maybe the knowledge or you it could be that this is a minor, for example, where this incident is only picked up days later or months later. So this should not be now the hold back for you not to report the case. So a case should be reported as long as we have evidence. Evidence is not only on the swap. Evidence can be verbal, evidence can be eyewitnesses, evidence can be anything that the court would accept
as evidence.
So that should also be, we need to have that in mind. It's not only about the rape kit, but the case can be reported also. But it's always the best to have it during these hours or within 3 days. But also this, maybe I should also just touch on the on the fact that when a rape happened or when this assault type of assault happened to you, you make sure that for us to have clear evidence or enough evidence, you are not allowed, or we always advise the person not to take a bath so that we don't destroy the evidence that the swabs should pick up during the medical examination. So you need to keep this in mind. If if you can, the first thing you need to do is to get this medical examination done. That's why it need to be done during that period of time, because no one wants to stay 3 days without bathing, of course. You need to get to the hospital in a very short period of time where we can still get this done, properly done. And then also the clothing. This evidence is taken, these swabs is taken even from the clothing, you'll find even from the nails, if there was
a scuffle,
then probably from the nails, you might find evidence. So that's why we advise that people should not really bath. They must get to the medical center as soon as possible for us to be able to secure this evidence for the
Partner.
You know, Shekwan, you know, in my work, community work, quite a number of alleged victims, I'll call them alleged because some of the cases are still unfinalized, they will tell you that when the incident happens, that it's very difficult for them in that moment to make the decision to get to the nearest authority or the hospital and so on and so forth. And yes, the teaching is get to the nearest immediately. Hopefully, you said 3 days, that's the window period, but the sooner the better. In an event where this incident allegedly happened and the victim is too traumatized to report this case or to get themselves to the hospital or the nearest police station or city police officers, even for that matter, and there's a time that lapses, what do they do then? Because I can almost see the community and, you know, the defenders saying, yeah, well, you didn't report on it immediately, you must be lying, and why are you only after a year or after 2 months or after 2 weeks only coming
speaking up now?
Why are you only speaking up now? In that case, what does the victim, alleged victim, do?
Okay, that's why in life, as a person, you must have someone that you can confide in. You need to have someone that you really trust, a confidant, that you can say, okay, this is what has happened to me, and what do I do in this case? Now, if someone comes to you telling you this, it's also good for everyone to know that if this happens, okay, even to that person, it might be difficult for you to come to that person within a few hours. It might take, it depends on the severeness of that trauma. It depends on how traumatized the person is. Some people take even a week for them to open up. All the person can do is to lock themselves in the room and cry or to tell people I'm sick, but a person is not able to come out to tell anyone, even their own mother sometimes or their own blood sisters. So you need to, when someone comes to you, even if days passed, the best thing is to show this person love and to assure this person that you believe what they are telling you for that moment, even though maybe it is not really clear to you as to what has transpired.
Mm.
The moment you show this person that you don't believe them, that's also...
They shut down even
they
more.
Yeah, you shut them more down.
Mm.
So you need to get them to the actual institution.
Mm-hmm.
For example, to a social worker,
mm-hmm.
that where they can open up more.
Mm.
Those people who are trained to make sure that the person opens up and the person tells what has transpired.
Yeah.
So you get them even to a social worker, and then that's where the whole case starts.
Or the process starts.
The process starts.
Mm.
So after counseling, a person might be able to open up proper and to give the whole version of the story as to what has transpired.
Mm.
So what we should do, we just need to always observe those who are close to us and to try to talk to them and find out what has really transpired. And this is the same in the case of a minor.
Mm.
In most cases, children are not really open. They don't know where to start to tell
those
who are close to them, their parents or their friends, as to what has transpired. And you might pick this up only after even 6 months.
Mm.
A child will tell, no, this is what has transpired when I was with this uncle or with this auntie.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be able to pick up these behaviors. And we also need to train our young ones to be able to identify these signs, to identify or to know the hazards and to identify these signs of these harmful signs from those who are close to them. Because in the case of minors, most of the rape cases that happened between a minor and a relative, a very close relative.
Mm.
They don't happen mostly outside.
Mm.
We have them, but they are not really much. But most of the rape cases reported,
it's very close
perpetrators
to home.
Are those who are related to these minors.
Sure.
And they build that trust first before they cause harm.
The
and this also does not allow a child to open up, because this is the uncle, this is the brother, this is a neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And that relationship would it's built on that solid it's solidified to an extent that a child is not able to, because she's scared or he is scared, people might think he is accusing the uncle.
Mm, that they're
because
making
uncle
things
is
up.
A very good person, or this neighbor is a very good person. Now they are even threatened that if you tell your mother, I'll kill your mother.
Mm.
So it will take them time to just
open up
and tell someone that this is what happened to me. That's why I'm saying it shouldn't be like when these 72 hours have passed and that's the end of the case. Cases are reported.
Yeah.
A year after, cases are reported depending on what has transpired.
Mm.
Some people are protecting the perpetrators for many other reasons.
Mm.
This perpetrator might be the only breadwinner at home. This perpetrator is the husband, and this is the stepdaughter.
Daughter, yeah.
So... And he is the only breadwinner. The perpetrator is the one paying school for this child.
Mm.
If he goes to jail, who will be able to assist to help us?
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the issues why cases are dragging so long before they are reported to the police. Why people are reluctant to report cases to the police. But if it is picked up even after 2 years after that, it can be reported. As long as we have evidence pointing to that incident, we will be able to to investigate and to find the truth.
Okay. Well, it's 7:46 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Senior Superintendent Hilma Mpuka is in studio. She is the head of the Integrated Operations Unit at City Police. We are talking about very contentious issue of rape in the country. How to go about it. How to report on it. And how to detect maybe if your child has been violated or you as an adult, where to go, how to go about it. And we'll continue with this questioning and this conversation and this learned experience after this. Stick around.
Energize with Fresh Breakfast. Wake up on Fresh with NSK and Shaquan.
Say it like you mean it.
It is 7:49 on Namibia's Heart and Soul. Thank you so much for choosing us. We appreciate it. We have Senior Superintendent Hilma Mpuka in studio. She is the head of the Integrated Operations Unit at City Police. And we're having a conversation about maybe even a learned experience, if you'd like, about the reality of rape in the land of the brave. Yes, for now limited to Windhoek, but I mean this information applies literally to everyone else that finds themselves outside Windhoek. We also want to use just this opportunity right now. If you are finding yourself in a situation that where you've been violated, and you hear now Senior Soup having this conversation, please get in contact with us.
Yeah.
You know, our number is there, 083-000-1029. Get in contact with us and we can, you know, facilitate the process where Senior Soup and her team takes the situation forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
So please get in contact with us. If you're sitting with this issue, whether it's, you know, perhaps your child or yourself or someone that you know that may need that help, we do encourage you to please get in contact with us so that we assist where we can. Now, Senior Soup, you know, one of the contentious bits when it comes to this, right, is I'm always in the community, just Senior Soup, just, you know, when you hear people and when you try to facilitate and when you're trying to assist and so on. And one of the things that always come out is perhaps the so-called lack of sensitivity from officers, be it NAMPOL, be it City Police. And I really just want to find out from you, Senior Soup, are the officers specifically trained to handle someone that maybe comes and reports on a case of rape? Is there something of that nature, or is it just part of your normal training as a police cadet, or is there extra effort that goes into sensitizing officers when someone comes to the charge office or someone comes to City Police's offices and says, look, I've been violated and this is a situation?
Yeah, we have officers that are trained and specialized in, how should I put it, trauma-informed approach. These are different trainings that are given to officers that are dealing with this type of cases, cases of rape, cases of domestic violence, all these sensitive cases. And we have a number of officers that are trained and are attached to these offices. Like with City Police, we have a victim support, it's a subsection within the City Police. We have officers who are trained in this regard, but then you might not have them always be the ones attending first to these cases. But then the moment they come in, but all police officers are supposed to be sensitive or sensitized when it comes to this kind of cases. We are getting in-service training. We are given information on how to deal with these cases. Although you are not really specialized, they are supposed to know how to handle these type of cases, as long as you are a trained police officer.
Yeah,
you are supposed to know, at least to have an idea how to handle this case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yes, we also get such reports that some police officers our community feel mistreated, or their cases are not properly handled, especially this type of assault cases. Those are probably individuals, and those type of behaviors also need to be reported so that we can also be able to
just deal with it.
To deal with these behaviors, or to be able to train them properly when we pick up that it's maybe lack of just knowledge on how to do it, or they are ignorant or something. We definitely need to come in and deal with this.
Yeah.
They just need to know where to report this type of behaviors.
And where do they report this type of behaviors?
We also have offices sections like with city police. We have our professional standard office. It's a section within the city police.
Mm-hmm.
We have IID with NAMPOL. That's internal investigation unit with NAMPOL. They are here in Windhoek. NAMPOL office is close to the police station in Windhoek.
Oh, in town?
Yeah, the Namibian police station there. They are just in the building next to the police station.
Mm.
And with us, our city police, it is also close to the headquarters there.
Mm.
The office is somewhere there. You just get direction where to go.
Yeah.
And then report this. You can also go to the nearest police station commander. If you cannot reach these people, you can get to that particular person's supervisor. Before the case can be elevated. To those other offices.
Senior Soup, you know, there's also been questions about the process after a case has been filed.
Mm-hmm.
What happens once a case has been filed? What's the investigation process? Are there arrests that follows? And what determines the arresting process?
Okay, seeing that a rape case is actually a Schedule 1 offense, it's a very serious offense. When these type of cases are reported and the perpetrator is known, the first thing that needs to happen is to get a statement from the victim. After all these other processes have taken place, like the medical examination, and in some cases we also need them to get counseling before they give proper statements to the police. Okay, this first what we need is the victim's statement under oath, and then arrest will then take place. And when arrest has taken place, we also need to continue with investigation, because we need other statements that will support the statement of the victim. We need experts' reports, like the social workers' report, to support the case, and any other eyewitness or witness that would also assist our investigation. We need those statements, but what will happen is that the statement of the victim need to be taken, and then arrest have to be effected. And then the person appears in court within 48 hours, spare the law. And that will now depend, which in most cases, bail is also not just given like that, because it's a very serious offense. And in most of the cases, the victim need to be involved when it comes to bail. The victim need to advise the court as to whether she feels safe when this person is
released,
bail, is released outside there. So we need, like I said, her safety or his safety is also very, very crucial here. That need to be considered, the safety of the victim and also the safety of the perpetrator sometimes. You release him on bail.
The community.
Oh, the community, or someone else might be a danger to that person. Okay. So that is also another thing that the court will look into. Mm. So the arrest is taking place. Investigation continues.
Mm.
Yeah, until the case is finalized.
Okay. Mm. So, but is there any type of... I know we're running a little bit out of time right now, but is there any protection available for survivors? Because, you know, sometimes maybe the perpetrator wants to retaliate in one way or another. Is there any way that the city police, NAMPOL, actually provides protection for the survivors?
Yeah, what you usually do... Okay, there is a restriction order, but then that protection order, that will also depends whether it would really, really, really... serve as a protection to this victim, but then, what happens is that they look at the bail conditions. The person might be given bail, but then the person is also warned by court that he's given some conditions. For example, not to come 5 meters closer to the to the victim. Not to call the victim, not to say anything that would serve as a threat to the victim, or things like that. And the victim also is alerted by the court that if you find something that would serve as a threat to your life from the direction of the perpetrator, if he is given bail, if he is outside there, then you must report, or even if he's inside, but then sometimes you will never know what happens. There are those that are for example, trying to be...
To intimidate.
The right word. To intimidate the victim on behalf of the perpetrator that is in custody. Shh. All these things are reported to the police, so those who are closer to the perpetrator also need to be careful not to just put the perpetrator in trouble while he's already in custody. So these are some of the protection that is there, but it's always the court. What I have seen in many cases, they don't give bail if the victim feels that her life, and she has concrete evidence to say my life will be in danger if this person comes out of. That's why there are bail applications, and that drags quite a long time because the court wants to make sure that the victim is safe out there.
Yeah,
when the perpetrator is out.
Well, yeah. Senior Soup, thank you so much for your time. I mean, you know, this is a conversation. It's a learning conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, just in case you don't know, you're home here, and we will ask you maybe sometime again to come back and maybe advise us on other matters.
Okay.
You know, whether it's crime, whether it's safety, absolutely, whether it's just even feel good factors like the city and so on. So Senior Soup, thank you so much for your advice. Absolutely. Thank you so much for your wisdom. Here at Fresh FM, we appreciate the good work that you and your team, NAMPOL, the work that you guys do. It does not go unnoticed, please.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Does it? Well, Senior Soup, Hilma Mpuka, the head of Integrated Operations Unit at City Police, just advising us about the plague of rape in the land of the brave. If you missed the conversation, if you just joined us, apologies, but we will have the conversation up on our website pretty soon for you to just to revert back. We've got a new show lined up.